Hi everyone, I'd like to introduce you to my guest today, Ariane Thomas, who is a dear friend and a courageous woman when it comes to healing. I'm interviewing her today because I think her story about her willingness to really listen to her intuition, her deeper knowing, and follow that intuition and knowing to its conclusion in a healing journey that was absolutely right and perfect for her in the face of some pretty tense skepticism. So I'm looking forward to this time with Ariane. I hope you enjoy the interview. Ariane, welcome to the show today.
Well, thank you for inviting me, Misa.
Great to have you. Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about you so folks have a sense of who you are.
Okay. I'm in my late 50s, and I live in the Sedona, Arizona area. I'm president of the New Dream Foundation and the administrative director. I also own a small business. I started Crystal Wisdom Collections in the late 90s, and I also practice ancestral lineage clearing, which is a method of releasing old family patterns from your energy field to help people create greater happiness in their lives. Before assisting in creating the New Dream Foundation, my background was as an attorney.
And Ariane, as it turns out, your background as an attorney was real helpful in this particular situation we're going to talk about today, wasn't it?
Oh, it certainly was.
Well, would you describe the physical condition that led you to this miraculous self-healing experience that you're going to share with us today?
Sure. I went in for a routine mammogram a couple of years ago, and the results came back negative, which meant that something had shown up on the mammogram. I wasn't really concerned because often the initial scans pick up, you know, odd things on a mammogram, and sometimes they're minor calcifications. So my doctor recommended I go in for a biopsy. When the biopsy report came back, it revealed an ADH, which is an anhydrous hyperplasia. This is a precancerous type of cyst, and believe me, I was worried when I got that result back.
Right, because even though it wasn't cancerous, it was precancerous, which meant there was some possibility it could convert, basically become a cancerous. But what would you, hyperplasia, I guess it just would be cancerous tissue in you, is that right?
Oh, yes.
It could have been, but it wasn't. It wasn't at this time.
No.
So I remember you sharing with me the research that you did, and you were looking at whether you should go forward with the treatments that were being recommended or whether you should consider alternatives. And you looked at the treatment recommended for this condition in this country, in the U.S., and other countries. Would you talk about the differences in recommended treatment?
Sure. As soon as my primary care physician got the report, she referred me to a surgeon. While I was waiting for my appointment, I, of course, got on the internet, and I started researching to see what the hyperplasia was all about, and they call it ADH. So I found out that the standard medical practice in the U.S. was surgery to remove all signs of the hyperplasia. Now, only 30 to 40% of this ADH actually turns cancerous. In Canada and the UK and the Australia, they take a wait-and-see approach. Women have regular checkups, and they are regularly screened with additional mammograms. And in those countries, they don't do surgery unless something changes and unless the hyperplasia turns cancerous. In the UK, they always do surgery. And I think it's because we do a lot of litigation against doctors in this country. And so I wasn't real excited about having surgery done at this stage because it's precancerous, it was fairly minor, and there's no history of breast cancer in my family. So I didn't have any of the other indications exacerbating conditions that would indicate that we needed to take aggressive action now.
I see. So I'm hearing that the recording broke up in a couple of places. I just want to reaffirm what you were saying so people make sure that they heard it, that only 40% of these cases typically become cancerous. And in the United States, the preferred treatment is surgery, but in other countries, they're taking a wait-and-see approach. That's a pretty fair summary, Ariane.
Yes, it is.
Right, and you didn't have any pre-existing conditions, rather, that would indicate, or family history that would indicate, oops, this is a probability for me. It was really quite the opposite. So I can see where surgery would be kind of scary to think about when it might not even be cancerous.
Right, and I was extremely opposed to surgery. It's not that I was afraid of surgery, because I've had my tonsils removed and I've had my tubes tied, so, you know, surgery itself doesn't scare me. But I have energetic reactions to things like, you know, having a tooth pulled. And when they do the biopsies, they're very hard on me, both physically and energetically. It's an intrusion into your body. And when I did a body scan and checked out my breast, it didn't feel like this cyst was something that was extreme. It didn't feel like this was something that needed to be dealt with immediately and in an extreme condition such as surgery. And so when I checked with my body, I went into meditation and intuitively sensed that surgery wasn't needed. And I didn't want to go through the trauma of surgery when it was unnecessary. So I was really opposed to doing surgery when I felt like it could be dealt with in a wait-and-see approach.
Mm-hmm. I remember our conversations about that over the phone where you were very clear, Ariane, and I know from experiencing you that you have quite a gift with energy healing and a trust in your own ability to recognize what is or is not going on in your body. And that may seem a little foreign to some people listening today who maybe haven't developed that level of trust. So would you talk with us a little bit about what you think gave you the confidence to do your own energy healing rather than having surgery?
Yes. I had had some serious and chronic illnesses prior to this, which I treated with both Western and alternative medicine. So I was used to dealing with both health fields. I go to Western doctors, and I take prescription medications, and I do sound healing, I do massage, Reiki. Not that I do them. I go to practitioners who do sound healing and Reiki and light therapy and symbols and a lot of other kinds of alternative therapy. And I find that they're very effective. And over the course of my life, the last 25 years, I have learned to listen to my body. I have learned when I need, like, Western help for diagnosis, because I think Western medication, Western health, and the medical system is really good at diagnosis, and it's really good in the initial stages of a trauma. And then I think alternative medicine and energy work is really good at dealing with healing. And I know in working with you that my body responds to sound medicine. And it also responds to my own visualization, meditation, and love energy. And so When I found this, when I learned that I had this, I scanned my body and saw what was in there, and I came to my own conclusion. But I also called you and discussed it with you because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't being in resistance or denial about it. Because I know sometimes something happens and you're going, oh, no, no, that's not true, or no, I don't believe I've got this. And I know that that's an initial reaction. So I wanted to check and make sure that I wasn't overlooking something, that I was just deluding myself on. So, of course, I discussed it with you because we've worked together on healing my body on some other issues.
Mm-hmm. And it does give you a greater sense of confidence when you go to someone else and get their intuitive impressions as well. I have found the same to be true. And then you applied your own energy healing techniques that you just mentioned, didn't you? And talk to us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. When you confirmed that, you know, your sense was the same as mine, then I started meditating every day. I sent love and healing energy to my breast and in that particular area. I visualized the cysts shrinking and all of those cells being transmuted into healthy tissue. I also had you make a sound medicine CD for my breast healing, and I use that every day for about 5 months because I know my body responds to sound medicine. I also ask for prayers from my family and friends and my community for healing and support. I used other healers that I knew, and I had massage, I used symbols, I had people do Reiki on me to keep me centered and balanced and positive during this whole process. So I used a variety of techniques, but I also used my own healing energy on my body every day on that specific spot and on that specific ADH cyst itself.
It really does make a difference when we ask for help, and we put ourselves, I think, into a greater position to receive that help when we are also actively involved and engaged in our healing process in a very significant way, as you were doing. It seems to set a precedence for all of the energy that comes from everyone to be able to make a bigger difference. So it really was powerful to watch you in this process, Ariane, a deep commitment to your own healing and also inviting in that warm, loving, energetic help from so many individuals with great skills, since I know several of them. I'm really curious about how the doctors reacted when you decided not to have surgery.
They didn't like it. I went to the surgeon, and of course, being a surgeon, his recommendation was that we go into surgery. And when I told him that I had done this research on ADH and I knew what it was, and he told me about the risks, and I said, okay, I understand that, but they don't do surgery in all of these other countries, and so I didn't want to do surgery. He kind of poo-pooed the idea, and then he started telling me all these horrors about breast cancer, and I said, yes, I understand that, but I want to wait and see. And I said, why don't we wait 6 months and check it out and then see what happens then. And if it's gotten worse, then we'll go, you know, I'll reconsider the surgery, but let's just check it out later. And he didn't like that, but I was real firm about not having surgery, and so he couldn't do anything about it. When I talked to my primary care doctor, she was also concerned that I wasn't having immediate surgery. She's a breast cancer survivor herself, and I told her, you know, what they were doing in other countries, and she said, well, okay, if that's your choice. because she knows that I do alternative healing. And she said, okay, well, why don't we do that, and we'll check it out in another 6 months. But if there's a change, I want you to come to me immediately so we can have another mammogram. And so she was semi-supportive, but she really would have preferred that I had the surgery.
Mm-hmm. So you had a lot of push behind you about surgery. I mean, I'm even hearing some scare tactics in here to have surgery. And then I'm also hearing that your primary doctor was concerned, and it totally makes sense, doesn't it, that she was a breast cancer survivor and was concerned about your well-being. But I'm also hearing she found a way to support you appropriately, which was,
yes,
then report to me any changes you sense or feel, and yes, let's do a follow-up mammogram and see if it's actually having an effect. So
yes.
Were you able to get that follow-up? Well, I know the story. Why am I asking you? You did get follow-up tests from the radiologist to confirm what was going on. But this is a significant part of the story, too. Tell the folks how the doctors responded to your request for the test.
Okay, 6 months later, I went in to have a second biopsy. They took, because they thought the ADH was still there, and I wanted to see what had happened in 6 months because I'd done my own self-healing and did the sound medicine and had all this other work done. And so I went to schedule a second biopsy. And I got a letter back from the radiologist at the hospital who did the first biopsy, and they refused to do the second biopsy. And I went, what? And the letter said that the standard medical procedure for ADH was surgery and that they would not do a second biopsy. And so I just kind of hit the ceiling. I talked to my primary care physician, and I said, can they refuse to give me another biopsy? And she said, well, yes, because that's not the standard medical practice. And she said, basically, their primary concern is liability, that if they do another biopsy and it's cancer and you don't have the surgery, then they're concerned that they're going to be liable because you didn't get the surgery right away and that there was a delay and they're going to be sued. Well, you know, as an attorney, I considered that a reasonable concern because doctors and hospitals get sued all the time. So liability was a question. So I wrote a letter to the president of the board of the hospital, to the head of the radiology department, and the board of trustees requesting a second biopsy. I informed them that I would sign a waiver of liability, and I assured them that I was a reasonable, well-informed patient. I knew what my choices were, and I knew what the risks were that I was taking, and that I wanted the biopsy to be able to assess what further treatment I needed, and I reminded them that health choices were mine to make and not theirs to make. And that was, I don't think they had heard that before. I mean, I don't think many people had challenged their decision before.
Well, challenge their decision, and there's another part of this that I think is also fundamental to true healing, and that's taking responsibility. You were saying,
yeah,
I'm not blaming you or holding you liable for my decision, and it is my right to make. That's a powerful healing stance that many of us don't make, and I think many healthcare practitioners, as you've already pointed out, don't hear very often.
Yes.
So it got some attention, didn't it?
It certainly did. And I got a letter back from the president of the hospital, and he said he thought that was a reasonable request, and he ordered the radiologist to perform the second biopsy.
Wow.
And I was thrilled because I didn't know how much of a fuss I was going to have to make in order to get that second biopsy. So I went in to get the second biopsy, and when they went to do the scan to find the spot that they were going to biopsy, they couldn't find it. They had to rescan the entire breast in order to find the original cyst. It had shrunk 50% from the first scan and biopsy. The radiologist had to get the films of the first scan to see what happened. He asked me what I had done, and so I told him. And he just shook his head and said, "Well, whatever you're doing, keep it up." So he went ahead and did the biopsy, and he said he removed as much of the cyst as he could while he was doing the biopsy, since I wasn't going to have surgery. And when he wrote up the report of the biopsy, he failed to note the size of the cyst, although he had referred to the size of the cyst in all of his previous reports. So he didn't say that it had shrunk 50% from the last biopsy that he did. So
it's so difficult for people to believe that energy medicine works, isn't it?
It is. It is.
It is so difficult that I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the films right here, but I can't write it down. I don't want somebody to come back and ask me questions I can't answer,
right?
Or whatever his motivation was. But, yeah, I think we've seen that more than once. It's difficult to believe it does happen, but it takes a new consciousness in your mind. Thank you.
Yeah, and he was so surprised, and he just, you know, if it hadn't been on film, he wouldn't have believed it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's true. So when you tell this story to other people, what kind of reactions do you get from them?
Well, I think, first of all, they're impressed that I could stand up to the doctors and the medical establishment. And then, secondly, they're concerned that I went against the, quote, medical advice of doctors. I think most people feel like doctors have all the answers, and that how dare I go against the doctor's advice? They know better than you do. And my feeling on that at this point, after having been in the medical system for all of this time, is that's not true. You know, if you have a broken bone, they may be able to see it on the x-rays better than you can just looking at your leg. But at this point, I know my body better than the doctors do. And I know what my body needs. And I knew when I checked my body after they did that mammogram that everything was going to be all right. I had a deep knowing in my gut that this was going to be fine, that if I did my healing work, I was going to be just fine.
You know, Ariane, what struck me through this whole process and in getting to be a supporter of you during that time is that you were making decisions from a very high level of consciousness. You were listening to your intuition very deeply, the way that the divine expresses itself to you at core level. You weren't taking guesses. These weren't hip shots. This was responding from what we would term a deep place of knowing, deep intuitive knowing. And what also struck me is that, yes, you were getting good medical advice, but you were willing to trust your own divine relationship first, medical advice second. And that seemed significant to me. that you have honored and worked with many allopathic physicians, and you've followed their treatment plans. I've watched you over the years. You have a deep respect for allopathic medicine and what it has brought to your health and well-being. But you also were clear when it was time for you to say, this course of action, as well as advised as it is not my course of action to take right now, and to do so judiciously and carefully and thoughtfully.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very impressive process. What
yes.
would you say was, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. Is there something you wanted to add to that?
No, you're right. And what I have to say is that I could not have done that 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Because 20 years ago, I didn't know my body that well. And I didn't trust my intuition that well. And over the course of time, in healing smaller things and in getting to know myself, my intuition, and my body through meditation, relaxation, body work, through sound medicine, through alternative healing, and through healing myself and through healing others through other modalities, I have learned to trust myself and my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes a little experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It does. You have to practice.
That's the journey. I mean, that is to become truly empowered self-healing. It's not necessarily an overnight thing. In fact, for most of us, it isn't. It is a journey we take in developing a relationship of trust with our own intuition and our own divine knowing.
Yes.
And that's something you dedicate yourself to, you at your core. Then
yes.
the miracles happen because you are trusting that guidance that's within you. That's
yes.
what I really see in your story. It was so powerful to see that knowing being so strong and your respect for the individuals you were working with all along the journey and actually teaching them about your willingness to take responsibility for your own choices.
Yes.
Very good.
And it helps to work with someone on a long-term basis, a teacher, a mentor, and you can work with two or three people because working with you over an extended period of time and knowing that my body responds to sound medicine, my body responds to Reiki, my body responds to massage, my body responds to my visualization, my body responds to my own self-love, you know, what works and what doesn't work on me. That's part of the journey. And having a support system that helps you is also very, very significant. But learning to trust yourself is clearly so much a part of self-healing.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned it a couple of times, that self-love, and I think getting to those deeper, deeper, deeper levels of self-love that truly allow full and complete healing to take place, it is a journey. It's a journey we do within ourselves, and we embody greater self-love when we can allow other people to fully be there for us and be present for us, be witness to what we are experiencing, to be a good sounding board, to listen, to offer insight, or to actually give and send energy. And
yes.
It is a way in which we express self-love for ourselves. What would you say to someone who's skeptical about following their own intuition in regard to healing themselves?
Trust yourself. You know your body better than anyone else. And if you don't, get to know your body. Get to know your body intimately. Get to know how your body works just by meditating on your body. You know, learn to feel the sensations in your body. Are you tense? Are you relaxed? Does it hurt? Does it feel good? And then you can feel when something is out of sync. And that's the time to figure out how you get it back into sync. And the earlier you catch those off-center things in your body, the more quickly you can heal them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and learn to work with your body, and your body will be healthy, and it will respond to you, and then you can trust yourself.
Beautifully said. In one short sentence, how would you best sum up your experience with this whole process?
This was very empowering to me because I knew what I knew, and I acted on it. I took responsibility for my health. I listened, I learned, and I acted. And the results came out positive. And I have to tell you, Misa, that I just had my routine mammogram about 6 weeks ago, and the results came out negative, which means everything is just fine. This is two years after the last biopsy. So I am doing just fine. And this is a concrete example of self-healing. And so this specific situation has given me more confidence than I ever had before. And you bet I know I can take care of myself.
Definitely. Words from an empowered woman and an empowering story. Ariana, I want to thank you for sharing this. I know there was a lot of deep personal information here that you so willingly offered today. And I know there are some people listening to this that are going to find some of their own power as a result of listening to this beautiful story. So thank you so much.
Thank you for asking me, Misa. And I hope this helps someone else out there.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to all the listeners who are going to be, who have heard this story with us today. Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.